Today's shiur is Masech Demait Katan Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin at the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph. Amud Aleph says the Mishnah: Oisem Makel Gag, we're allowed to make a fence around the roof, Ulamar Peses, or for around the balcony. Maisa Hedyet, it's allowed to be only constructed in an unprofessional manner. The Gemara will give examples of what that means. Avloim Aisa Umin, not professionally. So as the Ritva explains the Mishnah, he says that our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where there is an obligation with the Raisa to make a roof. Because as the Ritva explains, we're the Torah gate. Where the Torah tells us that we have to make a Makkah, every moment we have a Chiv Asay to do that mitzvah. And even if it's Chol HaMoed, it doesn't make a difference. Certainly the Makkah has to be erected. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where a person wants to put up a fence for his own concerns, not that there's an obligation, and the Mishnah is teaching us only unprofessionally, not professionally. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, if there's a situation where, again, perhaps halachically, there is no obligation to make a fence, but everybody knows their own home, and they know that in their home, this area not having a fence could pose a danger, let's say, to little children with steps or other such situations. Even if there's no halachic requirement, but if you know it's a situation of danger, then you're allowed to make a makkah. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where it's not that serious of a situation, and there's no halachic requirement. Continues the Mishnah. Shofen es astakim, we're allowed to smooth out, we're allowed to fill the cracks. Umagilan asan, the magila, we're allowed to use a roller to cover up the cracks. Machlokes, we're referring to cracks on the roof, or cracks on a wall, or cracks in an oven. This may be done, continues the Mishnah, b'yad b'regel, one's hand and feet. Avloba machatzayim. Machatzayim is some sort of a wood block that was used as a professional utensil to close up cracks. Here too, the Mishnah Berurah says that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where there's a crack on the roof, but there is no leak yet. If we're dealing with a situation where there's water leaking into your apartment, into your home, that you're allowed to even professionally repair in Chol HaMoed. Here there's only concern that if this crack will not be repaired, who knows what kind of a leak will develop. Hatsir Vatsiner, these are the hinge and the pivot, Vakair is the beam, Vaminal, Vamafteich, the lock and the key, all the various parts of a door, Shinizru, that were broken on Chol HaMoed, Mesaknon, the moed, they may be repaired on Chol HaMoed. Bovad, however, we have to be careful, Shloiskav Malach Moed, that he didn't wait for Chol HaMoed to fix his door. And as the Rishonim explained, fixing the door is permissible because we can't leave the door exposed or not working because it's a concern that Ganovim will enter the home. Having said that, you're not allowed to prepare. They say, you know, I have a broken door. Chol HaMoed, I have time. I'll fix it then. Of course, as the Mishnah Berurah teaches us, the only thing one could plan to do on Chol HaMoed is Oichel Nefesh, food, to prepare food. And as the Paiskim say, even if the food could have been prepared before Yontif, Chol HaMoed will allow to cook food, even if we could have done it before Yontif. Anything else that could have or should have been done before Yontif may not be done on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. The Kol Kvashim, they used to preserve foods, like we'll learn in the Gemara, fish, vegetables that used to be preserved by being put into salt. If you preserve them and they'll be edible on Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to go through this process. Otherwise, you may not. So the Mishnah's first halacha was that a gate could be erected on Chol HaMoed if it's done Maisa Hedyet. Ask the Gemara, Heichidoy Maisa Hedyet, what does that exactly mean? Rav Yosef and Behutz B'dafna, you're allowed to use pieces of wood, but don't just build them, just put them up. But Masnisatan, and the Braisa teaches us, Tzar B'tzror, if we're using bricks, pile them up one on top of the other. However, in a talk about it, you can't put cement in between. Again, these are all temporary ways of constructing a wall. And the Mefarshim say there's really not a machloikis here between Rav Yosef and the Braisa. Rav Yosef is referring to a situation when one wants to build a wood fence. So if you want to build a wood fence, teaches us the Gemara, do it with Hutz and Daphne. The Braisa is referring to someone who wants to build a brick wall. How is he allowed to build this brick wall. We learned in the Mishnah, shofen astakim, we're allowed to fix the cracks, or magilon asam, magilon, we're allowed to use a roller to cover them up. Ask the Gemara, hash the magilo amritshari, if our Mishnah teaches us, we're allowed to use a roller, the yadim raglim aboy, so obviously we're allowed to use our feet and hand. Using your feet and hand is a lot more less professional than using a roller. So if you could use a roller, you could certainly use your feet and hand. And so the Gemara has come, but this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Shofen es astakim, we're allowed to repair the crack. We're only allowed to use our feet and hands, nothing more. But let's say someone has a lot of dexterity in his feet and hands, and he could use his feet and hands to do such a beautiful job that to you it would look like he used the roller. Teaches us the Mishnah, even though it'll have such an appearance that when you use your feet and hands, it looks like such a great job as if you used the roller, that's permitted. Avaloi b'machat tzayin. And as the Rif and Ritva explain the Gemara now in the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is saying is like this. You're only allowed to use your feet and hand. And even if you use your feet and hand, you do a great job and it looks like you used a roller, that's fine. But let's say somebody's even more geschick, that's the Yiddish word, even more dexterous. And he could use his feet and hand and do such a beautiful job that it looked like he used a machatzayim. That's not permitted. That's already too much. The only time you're allowed to use your feet and hand is up to the madrega, up to the level of a magila, not to the level of a machatzayim. Hatsir v'atsir v'akoyin v'amina v'amafteich sh'nizbra mistak memoy. V'rminu asked the Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Masechta Maaseh Sheni that refers to Rav Yochanan Kohen Gadol that says, ad yomov ha'yipat shmaka b'Yerushalayim. Until his times, he allowed, there was a blacksmiths would work on Chol HaMoed. As the Rishonim explained, either it was a situation of a Dover Ovid, which we're learning and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, is permissible on Chol HaMoed, or the situation that the blacksmith was very poor, also may work on Chol HaMoed. So up to the times of Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, there were blacksmiths open on Chol HaMoed under those situations. But what is the Mishnah teaching us? Ad Yom of In, only until the time of Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol was there such a situation, Mekan ve'elech loy. Afterwards, he stopped it. Why? Because a blacksmith uses a hammer and bangs it on a metal table, so it makes a lot of noise. So everybody hears him banging, seeing that he's working Chol HaMoed, and the average person may not necessarily know that he's working Chol HaMoed because he has one of the Teirim that we just explained. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that even the person who halachically may work on Chol HaMoed, he's not allowed to have his blacksmith shop open. Why? Because it makes noise. So ask the Gemara the same thing here. When you're making a door, that our Mishnah just taught us you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, so you're banging the door. We just learned you're not allowed to bang. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Habad Nafchi, Habad Tagli. Nafchi is a blacksmith. So as we explained a moment ago, blacksmith, when he bangs with his hammer, makes a lot of noise. Nagli means a carpenter. A carpenter doesn't make that much noise, and therefore it's permitted. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rav Chisda, Yoimer Kala Rabba Osa Kala Zot Yishari. Who's going to start measuring that this is a loud noise? That's prohibited. A smaller noise is permitted. We know, and we've discussed this many times, Nostatet Varech L'Shurim. When Chazal make a rule, they look for consistency and start measuring this decibel. It's a problem. This decibel is not a problem. Doesn't work. So how can we say just because it's a carpenter's hammer, it's permitted? It says the Gemara, Elam Rav, this is Loi Kasha. Hob Magli Hob B'Chatzini. If you're using a hammer, it's prohibited. Makes no difference what kind of hammer. But if you're using a Magli, Magli means a saw. Saw doesn't make any noise. When you're using a utensil that doesn't make any noise, that's permitted. But Papa, I'm a different teretz. Can koidim gzeira? Can lach gzeira? Our Mishnah that speaks about fixing the door is before Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a gzeira that you're not allowed to use any equipment that make noise. Yes, once we have Yochanan Kohen Gadol's decree that you're not allowed to use any equipment that makes noise, indeed the halacha that's mentioned in our Mishnah will no longer be viable and you will not be allowed to construct a door on Chol HaMoed, or fix a door on Chol HaMoed. Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi gives a different tarot. Ha Rav Yehuda, Ha Rav Yaisi. Our Mishnah that allows one to fix a door represents the position of Rav Yaisi. Dom Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Man Tana Shimi B'moyed B'dover Ovid. Who's the man Dama that says, and we'll discuss this more on Amadeus and in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, Shia, that even when a Dover Ovid is at stake, and therefore, as we've been learning, it may be done in Chol HaMoed, you still says one Tana, it can't be done in the normal fashion. It has to be done with a Shinui, with a change. It's the like Reb Yossi. According to Reb Yossi, if we're dealing with a situation of a Dover Ovid, you could do it in the most normal fashion. So as we explained in our Mishnah, an exposed door, a broken door, is a dover of it, because what it could bring ganovim to the house. Therefore, says Reb Yossi, you could use and fix it in a normal fashion. And that's what the position of our Mishnah is. Says the Gemara, Amar Avina, command Madlina and Ha'idna, Kaviyosu the Dash B'chol Demoy, according to whom do we erect the beams, the doorway, the doorpost, the mashkoif around the door, man, Reb Yossi, that if it's broken, we can fix it in the normal fashion. So we learned in the Mishnah, Kvashim Shuyocha Lecha B'mayit, any pickling or preserving in salt and brine, if it could still be eaten in Chol HaMoed, Kaifshin may be done. Says the Gemara, Bedisa Laboy Kavroi. Bedisa was the name of the river. Laboy is the name of a city. Kavri is fish. The river Bedisa expelled fish on Chol HaMoed. In other words, what happened was the river overflowed, and with the overflow of the river came out a lot of fish, and those fish became available to the people of Laboy. And as the Gemara, as the Kula Alma, so everybody went, so Isa Kavra. They went and they collected this fish. An easy way to get nice, good fish on Chol HaMoed. In fact, this is the name of the city which we find throughout Shas, Pumpedisa. Pumpedisa is the name is the city, Pumpa, which was by the river Bedisa. Sharla Rava, so everybody's catching this fish, and Rava allowed them, Lemimlech Minayu, to take this fish and salt it on Chol HaMoed. Amalei Abaya, asked Abaya, Fatnan, Kvashim Shuyochel Lechem Mimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim Rav Shon. If not, they may not. Amalei. So Rava responded. Kivan Karo. Adata Dachila Sino. When the people caught these fish, their original intent was to use those fish on Yontif. Ishavaklu. Now that they're left over, and if they're not going to be preserved, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers. Tazdi, they will be lost. So it's the situation like a lost opportunity to do business, which we learned is shari, is permitted on Chol HaMoed. Ikadamri, a different version of the dialogue between Rav and Abaya. Sharle Rava, Rava allowed them, Meitzed Mezel Osi Umimor. He allowed them not, according to the first version, what happened was, when they collected these fish, their intent was to eat it on Chol HaMoed. Afterwards, they had left over, either Yontif, Chol HaMoed, they had left over, so Rava said, salt them. Here, he's telling them, you're allowed to take it with the intention from the beginning to salt it. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asks him, V'anan, k'voshim sh'yoch lechem emoid tanan, k'voshim tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that you could only preserve them if you could eat them on Chol HaMoed. Here they were collected with the intent not to be eaten on Yontif. Amalei, so Rava responded. Hanimili, haninami misachle agav itzitzo. These fish also can be eaten, because even though they were put into salt, and they have to sit in the salt, itzitzo means to squeeze them out. They can be squeezed out, the salt can be squeezed out, and therefore they're edible on Chol HaMoed. So since it's edible on Chol HaMoed, therefore it may be eaten. And the Gemara gives such examples. There was a fish sitting in salt, which Shmuel wanted to eat, and they squeezed it 60 times. The Farshim say 60 is an exaggeration. That's the number that's used many times in Shas to represent an exaggeration. They squeezed it 60 times, and they ate it. Rava Ikla Beis Reish Galusa. Similar story, Rava came to the home of Reish Galusa. Abdon Le Sheet and Itzitzi, they squeezed out from a fish 60 times. Vacha. So as the Mefarshim explained, they collected the fish with the intent and with the knowledge that they're not going to need all the fish. So how is it permissible to do? So Mefarshim explained, since every fish, they don't know which is going to be the best fish, they may take a fish and salt it, but then the next fish may be better, and you want to use the best fish for Yontif. That's why they were allowed to salt all the fish, even though they knew they're not going to need all of them. And the Magen Avraham explains this concept. It really connects to a Gemara we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. The Gemara says there that if one is preparing flour, he's only allowed to prepare the amount of flour that he needs on Yontif. He's not allowed to prepare extra, knowing that it's extra. And in our Gemara, they were preparing fish with a clear knowledge that they're going to have leftover. So the Magen Avraham makes a very clear distinction. He says, buy flour, flour is flour. So to go make more flour in Chol HaMoed than you need is prohibited. Here, every fish is a separate fish. And by every fish, I don't know, maybe the next fish will be better than the previous fish. And therefore, he's allowed to salt all the fish, even knowing that he's not going to need all the fish that he salted. But then there's a very interesting Ravid based on this Gemara. The Ravid says here clearly that what do we see from our Gemara? That the Gemara, even Rava, who's the Mekel, even Rava, who represents the more lenient position, held that you could only salt the fish with a heter. Either the first version held that he could salt the fish because he collected the fish with the thought that he's going to use them, and then they turned out to be extra. Or the second version of the Gemara says that they salted the fish based on the way we just finished explaining the Gemara with the Magen Avraham. Every fish may be the fish that will eat on Yontif. Says the Ravid, ask the Ravid, why can't the Gemara say a simple thing? Here the fish overflowed onto the riverbank on Chol HaMoed. If I'm not going to collect on Chol HaMoed, by the time Yontif is over, they're not going to be there. If they are there, they're going to be completely spoiled. So why is it not considered a davar avid? The fish will not be there, or not be edible, if I leave them there from Chol HaMoed till after Yontif. Says the Ravid and the Rosh, a very big yesoid in Hilchos davar avid. Davar avid doesn't mean a lost opportunity. There's always lost opportunities. That's not called davar avid. Davar avid means that you already have something. And if you're not going to deal with it, you're going to end up in a situation of loss. That's called a davar avid. What's the best example? The best example is Yerushalmi. And this is the halacha. Now let's say you're walking in the street on Chol HaMoed, and you find an Aveda, you find somebody lost something. You're not allowed to pick it up. If I won't pick it up, Chol HaMoed, it won't be there after Yontif. That's not called a davar avid. I didn't lose anything. That's just a missed opportunity. A missed opportunity is not called a davar avid. Similarly here, not picking up fish is not called a davar avid. However, the Ravid does say, interesting distinction. He says, that is only applicable to someone who's not in a business. So let's say I'm not a stockbroker. All of a sudden, Chol HaMoed, somebody tells me, legally of course, about a good stock tip. So all of a sudden, Chol HaMoed, I'm going to start buying stocks because it's a wonderful opportunity. I won't be there after Yontif. That's awesome. But let's say someone is in a business. Let's say someone is in the real estate business and he has a property. And Chol HaMoed, an opportunity comes up to sell it. Somebody approaches him and says, I'm willing to buy this property for a good price, but it's either today or that's it. So it's not really a davar avid, because he didn't lose anything. He just lost maybe an opportunity to make business or to make a profit. Says the Yerushalmi, that is considered a davar avid, because given that this is his profession is that he sells property, and this opportunity came up, and it won't be there after Yontif, so for him, he's allowed to sell it. But someone else who's not in the real estate business, and all of a sudden somebody tells him about a good opportunity, that would not be considered a davar avid.
We apply the concept we told that we have a yontif to what we've been discussing now.
Apparently not. Rav Ikla Lebei Rav Shvir. Rav came to the yeshiva Rav Shvir. Eisel Kamehu Kavra. They brought him these fish, and these fish were prepared in the following manner. Tilsa Bishula, they were a third cooked. Tilsa Milcha, a third they were put into salt. And Tilsa Tavian, a third they were broiled. Amar Rav, So Rav said, Omri Aida Tzada, Aida the fish catcher, the fish trapper, would tell me, Kavra, fish, Somach L'Misrachi, right before they're about to spoil, Mali, that's when they're the best. Vamar Rav, furthermore Rav said, Omri Aida Tzada, Kavra, Tavya Ba'achva, they should be roasted, they should be broiled in their brother. Who's the brother of fish? Salt, because they both live in the river. Asuke, they should be put, bavua in their father. Who's the father of the fish? Water. And mechle, they should be eaten, the bray. What? Who is the son of the fish? The fish sauce. Eat fish with its sauce. Ishtale, and after you finish eating fish, avua. Drink water, which is the father of the fish. Vamaraf, omli adet saida, kavro, fish, tachli, cress, v'chalva, milk, litan gufa, after you eat these food items, you should walk around, v'litan lapuria, don't go right into bed. Vamaraf, omli adet saida, kavro, tachli, v'chalva, these three food items. Maya, after eating them, drink water, for like shikra, not beer. And if you have to drink something and you don't have water, better to drink shikra, like chamra, not wine. So there's a very important taisus here. Taisus here says, Al Gemara says, that fish, right before it's spoiled, it's best. Says taisus, then in their days, they already knew that that's not true. When something's about to be spoiled, don't eat it. So what does Al Gemara say? So one Taras Taisus says that's perhaps speaking about a specific type of fish. Another shot is that it's speaking about fish that comes from a specific river. But then Taisus says a very important concept, which is very relevant throughout Shas, Nishtanu Hativim. Things changed. And what was good in the times of Chazal, in the times of the Gemara, is no longer necessarily healthy. And therefore, even though maybe in the times of Chazal, fish right before it spoiled was good, and now don't eat it. And in fact, the Maral says that someone who tries to test the various remedies that are mentioned in Shas is doing the wrong thing, because all of the remedies are no longer relevant. The Rishash in Masechta Chulin says there's a Cheirim HaKadmoinim, not to try any of the remedies that are mentioned in Shas, because they're no longer relevant. In fact, another thing that our Gemara here says that we know is certainly not the case anymore. Here the Gemara says that after eating fish, the best thing to drink is water. Our Paiskim say that the worst thing to drink after fish is water. So again, some say that what does the Gemara mean when it says drink water after eat fish? Drink the water from the river from which the fish came. That water is good. But if you have fish that come from I don't know where, and you're drinking water from here, that's not healthy. And this is the basis for the famous minig that after we eat fish, we don't drink water, we drink al-chayim. Because you're not supposed to drink water, according to the Paiskim, after you drink fish. Before we end the parak, there's a very beautiful Ben Yoyada that explains this Gemara homiletically. It's beautiful. He says, the Gemara here says that fish should be eaten with its brother, the salt, with its father, the water, and with its son, the fish sauce. He says the fish swim in the yam, swim in the ocean, which is representative of Torah. So fish is connected to Torah. He says person should learn Torah with his father representing his father or his Rebbe. He should learn Torah with his brother, with Chavrusis, and he should learn Torah with Burei, with his son and Talmidim. But he makes a very interesting observation in the Gemara. After the Gemara says, either with the salt and the fish sauce and with the water, then the Gemara repeats, again, drink water after it. What's the Gemara trying to teach us? That let's say somebody already is by the Madrega, that he has sons, Talmidim, that he's teaching Torah. So I would think he doesn't have to go back to a Rebbe anymore. He doesn't have to go back to his father anymore. He's already a Talmud Chacham in his own right. Tells us the Gemara, even after you have a Bray, even after you have Talmidim and children, Ishtiavu, go back to your father, go back to your Rebbe. You always have to go back to the previous generations. And he takes the Gemara a step further. The Gemara here says that after you eat fish, again, Kaira, don't go to bed, just walk around. What is the pshat? He's saying, somebody could think, I already learned Torah. If I learned Torah, I don't have to learn anymore. I'm already Talmud Chacham. Now I could go to bed. I could go to sleep. teaches us the Gemara, litn gufay, v'loy litn purya. You always have to continue walking. You always continue harving and learning. You never can rest in liman ha-tayra. Hanun loch mashkin beis ha-shalchan, hanun loch mashkin beis ha-shalchan, hanun loch mashkin beis ha-shalchan. Says the Mishnah, mishafach ha-zeisof. Somebody was preparing his olives for pressing before Chol HaMoed. Vira Ovel, and Rachman Tzlan became Ovel, or Oynes, or something happened unexpected that he couldn't prepare those, he couldn't squeeze them before Yontif. Or Shehitur Palim, or his workers fooled him. He had reserved workers before Yontif to come help him prepare, squeeze the olives, and they didn't show up. So Mefarshim asked right away, Hitu Palim is an example of an Oynes. So why does the Mishnah have to single out this example? So Rashi says a beautiful teretz. There are many accidents that we can't control. But the accident of a worker not coming, let's say I contracted that the worker should come today, and I'll pay him $100. Comes in the morning, he doesn't show up. If I give him $150, he'll be there. So one would think that that's not considered oynis. It's before Yontif, and we're now out of work in Chol HaMoed. Pay him the extra. Teach us the Mishnah, you don't have to do that. If you contracted with a worker a fee, and then he tries to extort to get more money because it's Erev Yontif, you don't have to pay him that money. So the halach is, so now we have these olives on Chol HaMoed, teaches us the Mishnah, Toim Kair Rishayna or Menich Lach HaMoed. You could take the first squeezing, because again, if you're going to leave the olives not processed, they'll spoil. So one pressing may be done on Chol HaMoed, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You could squeeze them as many times as necessary, the gof katakoi, and you could seal the barrel as normal. Otherwise, you could do all of that on Chol HaMoed. And there's a number of ways of explaining the machloikis of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Some Rishonim explain the machloikis fairly simply. They explain the machloikis that there is a small hefsid, a small loss involved if you don't complete the processing. Rabbi Yehuda says that even though we're making a Chol HaMoed, a small hefsid we're not going to be making for. Rabbi Yosef says it makes no difference what the value of a hefsid is, we could be making. But then I saw, maybe it's along the same lines, a beautiful pshat. We've been learning, and we'll continue Be'ezer Hashem learning, under what circumstances malacha may be done on Chol HaMoed. Now the question is, and we have this concept many times in Shas, when malacha is allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, Dava Ovid, or whatever, is pshat that it's chutra? It's completely mutter. There's no isser. Or is pshat the chuya? We're only allowed to do the minimum. Rabbi Yehuda says that even when you're allowed to work a Chol HaMoed, it's only the chuya. You're only allowed to do the minimum. So one pressing will take care of the immediate problem. You're not allowed to do more. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that when malacha may be done a Chol HaMoed, it's chutra. It's completely permitted, and therefore you could do whatever you have to do. So then I saw the Paiskim discuss a very interesting shayla. This person, let's use the example of our Mishnah. He has olives to press. Now, he's the person, and there are a lot of people like this, that saved to press the olives for Erev Yontif. And now it's Erev Yontif, something comes up that he couldn't process it. Is that called an oinus? Because taka something came up. Or on the other hand, it could be argued that it's not an oinus. Why just wait for the last minute and then be put into the situation? And the truth is, this is a very relevant shayla. Because the shayla is regarding Hilchas Tefillah. The halacha is that if one misses a tefillah by oinus, so the next tefillah, he makes it up. If somebody mixes shachris by oinus, he damaged Shemoneh Esrei Mincha twice. If it was bemezid, it's lost. So what's going to be the halacha? Let's say someone does man tefillah, let's say it's 10 o'clock. And he made up, he's going to daven shachris at 9:45. And then 9:45 there's an oinus that he couldn't daven. Is that called an oinus? Or, it could be argued, why did you wait to daven shachris till 9:45 and expose yourself to this problem? If you would have davened 7 in the morning, you wouldn't have had any problem. So it's a machloikis apayiskim. The chsam soifer seems to be machmer. He can't call such a person oinus, but most paiskim are makel, and they say an oinus is an oinus, and as long as his plan was to do it within the permissible time, it's considered an oinus. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasoi, quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach as far as Hilchas Chol HaMoed, that if somebody was planning to do it permissibly before Chol HaMoed, and then something came up, even though he was planning only to do it in the last minute, he still considered a oinus, and the heter of our Mishnah applies. Ask the Gemara. Pasach Ba'avol, our Mishnah mentioned something about Hilchas Avelis, the sign of Moed, and then in the middle it starts talking about Hilchas Chol HaMoed and ignores Hilchas Avelis. What's pshat in the Mishnah? Amr Shesh Breder of Edi, Zoy Samaras, what our Mishnah is teaching us is Dvarim HaMutarim B'Moed, even though on Chol HaMoed there are, as we're learning, certain times where Malacha can be done, Asur M'mei Evloi. When somebody's an Avel, there is no Heter. Even though, as we're going to learn in a moment, the Isser to do Malacha when one is an Avel, Rachman Al-Utzlan, is only with Rabbanan, and the Isser to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed may be the Raisa, still, we're more machmer by Avelis than by Chol HaMoed for two reasons. Because it's a drabonim, and we're concerned that people will not take it seriously. That's why Chazal were more machmer. Or another pshat, which we'll see soon, is that by Avelis, the person who's an Ovel Rachman Tzlan can't do the Malacha. Everyone else can. But on Chol HaMoed, we're all in the same boat. That's why we're more machmer on Avelis than we are on Chol HaMoed. Ravashi has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Loi mi boi kama. It goes without saying, is the way to understand the Mishnah. Loi mi boi b'mei evloi. Certainly when somebody's an Ovel Rachman Tzlan, the Medrabanan who, that the Issa to do Malach is only Medrabanan, Shari, when there's certain unforeseen circumstances, one could do Malacha. Ela fil b'moyid, even a Chol HaMoed, where there's an Issa Malacha Midaraisa, the Makam Seder, where there's a Shaila of laws, Shari Rabbanan. So there's a very short Tosfos here. The whole Tosfos is three words. Afil b'chol moi, dasir b'malacha d'raisa. Tosfos perakam purashti. What's Tosfos saying? So Mefarshim say, if you recall, when we began learning the Masechta, we gave an introduction, if the issa malacha on chol moi is mid'raisa mid'rabon. And we said it's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that it's issa d'raisa, which is seems to be clearly indicated in our Gemara. It says, B'moyd issa malacha midaraisa. But Tosfos holds that the issa malacha chol HaMoed is only midrabanan. So what's Tosfos going to do with this Gemara? So Tosfos says that's what you have to go back to the first parak for. Tosfos says that even if I hold that doing malacha on chol HaMoed is only an issa midrabanan, not an issa midaraisa, still it has the status of a daraisa for two reasons the Rishonim give. One is because there's an asmachta, there is support to that position in the Torah, so it's not just the derabbanan. And another pshat is like this: why did Chazal, if according to Tosfos not doing malacha chol HaMoed is the derabbanan, why did Chazal make such an issur? Because they were concerned that if you can do malacha chol HaMoed, you may come to do malacha on Yom Tov. So the Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed is connected to an Issa Daraisa. And that's why it can be called a Daraisa. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei Drav Shisha Bereid Drav Idi. El Advarim Ha'oysen L'Ovel B'mei Evloi. The following things may be done on behalf of an Ovel when he's in Avelis. Zeisef Hafuchim. He started processing his olive, Toyan Eloi. And now they're left, we could do a press for him. Kada Logof. If he has to seal his barrel, otherwise the liquid will become spoiled. Pishtana lalas min amishra. If his flax is soaking, and if he leaves it there, it'll get spoiled. Simra lahalas min ayira. Yira is dye. And if you leave they used to dye material, simra is wool. They used to dye wool by leaving it in a pot with dye. And if you leave it there for too long, it won't be the right color or get ruined. Umabitsin. Sadeu, machlokes what mabitz means. Some say it means that you're allowed to water it lightly. Others say that mabitz means that you're allowed to, if you started watering it from before, you have to constantly continue, otherwise it could get ruined. Mishatigir onus maim shloy, from when the time of watering comes. Rabbi Yehuda is even more lenient. Av zayin lo stay near, you're allowed to plant a field that was already plowed. The soda. A field that is supposed to be used to plant flax, where there's a very small window that if you don't plant the flax now, it'll be too late. So somebody who's an Avelis that can't do Malacha himself, we could do it on his behalf. Amaloi, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, say, Imlai Tizrabak, it is a buffalo. In the plowed field, we won't plant it earlier, so I'll plant it later when he gets up from the Avelis. Imlai Tizrapishtan, yes, you may lose the opportunity to plant flax, so Tizram and Acher, plant something else. There is no heter to do Malacha and Cholamayit. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shimon Gamliel says, Zeis of Hafuchim, let's say somebody has these olives that he began processing. V'ein Cham Uman Elohu, there's no one else there that could process it besides him. Kadaluguf, or he has this barrel to close. V'ein Cham Elohu, and there's no one else besides him that can close it. Pishtana Laos Mena Smishra, where he has to take the flax out of the soaking. V'tzimra Lahaos Mena Yoru, where he has to take the wool out of the dye vat. Vain Sham El Umin Elahu, no one else could do it besides him. Yasvitzina. So even he who's an Avelis could do it when he's just do it privately. Most Rishonim say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not arguing with the Tanakhama. But Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that if someone else could do it for the Avel, he shouldn't do it himself. If there's no one else to do it, he should do it himself. And the Ramah, interestingly, not the Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah paskens like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and says that if somebody has something that if he won't do it, it'll get ruined, and there's no one else that could do it on his behalf, he's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. The Nisikalim try to differentiate between the first 3 days of the Shiva and the rest of the Shiva, and say that if it could be delayed to after the first 3 days of Shiva, one should try to delay it. Yes, I can, I'm Rav Shimon Gamliel. Im Haya Umen L'Rabin. If this person who's sitting Shiva is a person who's a professional, he's a safer, he's a barber, or balan, he used to take care of the wash house for the rabbin for the entire community. And now it's Erev Yontif, the ancient Elohu, Umun Elohu, there's no one else that could do this job. Hareza Yasi, he's allowed to do it, even during the Shiva. Interestingly, I saw the Paiskim discuss different people with different professions. Are they or are they not allowed to do Malacha if they're needed during the Shiva? I mentioned three professions. One I saw is a shaykhet. As a shaykhet, if he's needed, a lot of work during the Shiva. The Paiskim seem to be quite machmer. There's a Shalos Tshuva Shvus Yaakov that seems to be quite machmer about a shaykhet working during the Shiva. He says part of being a good shaykhet is that you have to be able to concentrate properly. Somebody, Nebuch, in the middle of the Shiva, can't concentrate properly, so he shouldn't shech during the Shiva. Then I saw the shaylo, what about a shamus? Somebody who runs a shul, is he considered somebody that's needed for the rabbim? It's machlok sapayskim, and many paiskim seem to indicate that he could go if the shul needs him before yontif, and he's needed, maybe he's allowed to go to shul. And the third person I saw the paiskim discuss is a doctor. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva in the Micha Shlomo about such a situation, a person, a doctor, who's never sitting shiva, and he's very makel. He says that a doctor, if somebody approaches him during the Shiva for care, even if the person approaching him is not a Chol HaShesh B'Sekhanah, the person just not feeling well, and even if there's another doctor that they could go to, but this person feels comfortable with this doctor, the doctor is allowed to work with the patient during the Shiva. But I saw the Paiskim make an interesting point. The halacha is that if someone does something which is a dvar mitzvah, he's not really allowed to get paid for doing a dvar mitzvah. Someone who teaches Torah is not allowed to get paid. It's a mitzvah. Somebody who's a doctor is not allowed to get paid. Why do people who teach Torah or doctors allowed to get paid? They get paid for schar b'tayilah. That during that time, they could have been doing something else. That's what they got paid for. So say to Paiskim, during the Shiva, the doctor who's sitting Shiva doesn't have any schar b'tayilah. He wasn't allowed to work anyway. So he can't say that I could have been doing something else in this time. He couldn't have been doing something else. So perhaps, even if a doctor is allowed to treat patients during the Shiva, he can't send the bill. Harisa are sharecroppers. Sharecroppers used to get a certain percentage of the produce. The rest went to the owner. Chakirin means, it's like a tenant, meaning that a certain amount that's grown goes to the landlord. Anything past that amount, he keeps. Ha-kablonin means somebody that works by the job. He gets paid for the project. Is that locha? Hare elu yasu acher mishvilan. Let's say they become avelim. So it's not just their loss, it's also the loss of the landlord. So they shouldn't do it, but other people could work in their field. Hachamorim, people who drive donkeys, gemalim, camels, svanim, sailors, hare elu lo yasu. They shouldn't work. They're ready in the middle of a job. Hare elu yasu. They're allowed to work. Mefarshim explain why they're avelim, because a number of reasons. Here, somebody who hired a specific sailor wants this sailor, so no one else could do the job on his behalf. Another pshat is, so most mefarshim explain, this person was hired for a month. Middle of the month, he was hired for longer than a month. He never becomes an oval. If he won't do his job, not only won't he get paid for that week that he was an oval, he won't get his salary at all. That's considered a hefsim ruba and a lot of work. Schir yoyim, somebody gets paid by the day. I feel be recheres, even if it's not in the city that people know he's an oval, lo yasa. Haisa melachas acherim biyodai, if somebody left a job by him, even he's getting paid piecework, not by the hour, lo yasa. Ask the Gemara, avishu kibayilus, what are we saying? If he gets piecework, he shouldn't get paid. It gets paid by the day. Adirava. Kiboilus could the day dummy. Somebody's getting paid by piecework, so he doesn't have to do that piecework. So certainly he's not allowed to work. Alaima, but Pshat is, Ben Kiboilus, Ben Shein Kiboilus, whether he gets paid by the day or whether he gets paid by the piece, he's not allowed to do Yasa. Hoysa Malachtai Biyara Cherim. Let's say he left the job by someone else, or he subcontracted somebody. In his place of business or in his home, lo yasa, work should not be done during the shiva. The bais acher, in someone else's house, yasa, the work may be done. However, I saw the place can say that even though an oval is not allowed to take do work, certainly under normal circumstances, let's say someone is an oval and he's not going to do any work kolomoy. He's just going to accept orders. Now, let's say somebody has an office. The fax machine, the internet, will be, the email will be open, and orders will come in. Is that permissible while he's in Avelis? Is that permissible by Avelis? The person will say that's permissible. Even not only if it's coming in just by paper or by email, even if the actual items that he's going to work in are delivered, as long as he doesn't do any work with them, they're just delivered and deposited in his home or his place of business, it's also permissible, Chaman Tzlan, doing somebody's shiva.
Process the orders? Fill the orders?
No, he's not allowed to fill them. He just allowed to take him,
pile them
up, and have them for after the avelis. Continues the Gemara. Marion Berei the Ravin. There was a person whose name was Marion, the son of Ravin. Omar Berei the of Acha Berei the Rava. Havla hu gamla the Tura. They had a group of ax. Bahadeh Adodi. They were partners in axes. Each one owned a different ax. Israel Milsa B'mar Berei the Rav Acha Berei the Rava. Rav Mabre became an oval. Upaskil Gamli. So he took his axe out of the group. Omer Vashi, Gavar Rabbi Mabre the Rav Acha, Ovid Hochi. How could he do this? Ned said to the Dele Chayish, fine. He's saying that he's an Avelis, and while he's an Avelis, he's not going to do any work, or will not let any of his belongings do any work. But what about his partners? By him taking away his animal, his partner would also suffer, and his partner's not an availer. For Tanya, because there's a brace that says, if somebody owns property or owns anything, he's not allowed to work with them, but his partners may, Hareel Yosef, says, who suffered? What was his thinking? Adam Choshev Shani. Since he's an Adam Choshev, people will not recognize that he's only a partner here. People will say, you see this person who's such a chashva person is working during the shiva, and that's why he went the extra mile. So Mefarshim bring up a very obvious point. They ask, he's being frum on someone else's cheshvan. He's an adam chashev, so he doesn't want under any circumstances to work during the shiva, but his partner is going to take a loss because of it. So some Mefarshim want to suggest he could be an Adam Chashev, and he could take away his animal, but he has to compensate his partner for the loss he caused him. Others say, that when someone becomes a partner with such a person, with Adam Chashev, he knows that Adam Chashev has different rules. And this is one of the different rules that he's going to recognize, that when he's Bavelis Rahman Tzlan, he's not going to let his belongings or his business be open under any circumstances. The Ranach discusses, let's say someone, I guess he's a thinking person, there were two partners that became partners, and they made up that at the beginning when they formed a partnership, that if either of them were ever be Bavelis, automatically the business should be sold to the other person. Is that acceptable? Says the Ranach that that's not acceptable. Similarly, says the Chasam Sofer, I'm not passing him, just quoting the Chasam Sofer, that says that let's say someone loses a relative and he becomes an Ovel, but before he becomes an Ovel, he becomes an Oinen. The halacha is that an Ovel is not allowed to do business. An Oinen is. So is an Oinen, let's say he wants to be a step ahead, while he's an Oinen, he'll sell his share in his business to someone else or to a partner, and like that the business will be allowed to be open during his shiva. Chasam Sofer says that it's inappropriate if to do that. Again, these are shailos that should be asked to a rav, but Chasam Sofer frowned upon such actions.